are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Monday edition of the program. My guest today is Eric Crocker. Well, the end of my conversation with Eric Crocker, we went a little long for Thursday's show, so I'm going to bring him back here. We've got the end of this conversation, and that'll be segment number one. Talked a lot about 49ers DBs on Thursday with Crocker. In part two, we talk a little bit about wide receivers, some of his favorite wide receivers in the draft, and then talk a little bit about the pass rush. And if Josh Allen matches up with Nick Bosa at the top of the draft, and if the 49ers should be excited to use that number two overall pick on Allen if Nick Bosa should not be there or even take him instead. Then after part two with Eric, we'll get into the coaching changes and the changes in the strength and conditioning staff for the 49ers that is going on right now. And then we'll also dive into the NFL playoffs as the AFC and NFC championship games are now set. And of course, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, Locked On 49ers. Tell a friend about the show. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. We'll definitely be dipping into that mailbag this week. So send me those mailbag questions at BD Peacock or via email, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And if you have a smart speaker, just say, play podcast Locked On 49ers. And now part two of my conversation with Eric Crocker, former professional defensive back, film breakdown guy, and contributor at 4th and 9. I know you've been watching some wide receiver film as well. Give me your quick top three wide receivers you've seen so far.
Oh, man. So Ridley is my favorite one. And like he might not have the highest upside out of all the guys, but I think when you just talk about safe and kind of some of the things that I see Shanahan like, route running, separation, hands. He's a great hands catcher, catches the ball away from his body. He kind of reminds me of, you remember a guy named Josh Morgan. He kind of reminds me of a Josh Morgan and, you know, between Josh Morgan and Davante Adams. A guy that's not overly big, you know, 6'1", 6'2", a little bit over 200 pounds, but he has some quickness, has good hands. He's not going to just blow the top off of the defense, but, man, he does a lot of things really good. And I think he'd be a guy that could step in and play very well in Shanahan's scheme. So that's probably my favorite wide receiver. After him, I've watched some guys. I know you really like Hakeem Butler. For a big guy, man, I think he definitely, when he wants to, he runs really good routes for a big guy. I've seen him be able to sink his hips, attack the ball high point. Obviously, you just have to throw the ball in the area of him, and a lot of times he's going to come down with it. So, yeah, he's up there as one of my favorites. And then I would have to say probably N'Keal Harry, because I think when you talk about upside with his size, and he kind of reminds me of a poor man's Dez Bryant coming out of Oklahoma State. And I know some of your listeners might not have watched Dez coming out of Oklahoma State, but, man, he was a monster. And some of the things I see with N'Keal Harry, I see for Dez, but maybe not quite as explosive. With that same type of top end speed, but it's there though. And I think he possibly has the highest ceiling of guys in this draft. I would say probably N'Keal Harry. It's just not the safest pick because he might be 29-year-old Dez Bryant, you know, instead of 21-year-old Dez Bryant. So that's the only thing that kind of scares me with him, but his ceiling is definitely high.
Yeah, Dez was ridiculous coming out of Oklahoma State. He was a punt returner at 225 or whatever he weighed, and that kind of athlete was crazy. He didn't look like that anymore this age in the NFL.
He did it his rookie year. People probably don't remember, but he ran back some punt returns for touchdowns his rookie year in the NFL. Yeah,
so that's high praise. And actually, one more thing that we've talked about on Twitter, because at some point I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because I don't see Josh Allen. All right, we're going to sneak some pass rush talk in here. Just real quick, we only got a couple minutes left. I don't see Josh Allen as the number two overall type. And I know a lot of fans are really locked into that pick and they love Josh Allen and they're all about the 49ers taking Josh Allen at number two if Bosa's not there and he goes number one. I love Josh Allen. I don't think he's the second best player in the draft. And I think you agree with me on that.
Quinnen Williams is the second best player in the draft. Unfortunately, we don't need a defensive tackle. But when it comes to Josh Allen, so I just was listening to Sims and Lefko and I heard Phil Sims, he came on and he said, TV lies. All right, TV lies. And sometimes people look at numbers and they look at like maybe a clip here and there of somebody and say, oh, this guy is good. And you look at, okay, 17 sacks. Well, let's go back to last year and the 49ers signed this guy, Tarvarius McFadden. All right, McFadden's sophomore year at Florida State, he had 8 interceptions, right? But so when you see it, oh, he led the nation in interceptions. But when you go and you watch the film, it's like, ah, he led the nation in interceptions, but he's giving up touchdowns. He's inconsistent. He can't really run with the deep ball. You see all these different things that start to show up when you really dig into the film and you know what you're looking at. I see something like similar to that with Josh Allen. And I think I'm the one going crazy because all these draft expert guys are much higher on him than I am. But I just see somebody, when I just sit and I watch a game, he disappears for most of the game. If you watch his film and some of these, I clump his film in with some of the other guys like Polite, like Farrell, he's probably more explosive than Farrell, but you see Farrell do some of the things, other things on a consistent basis. Polite, Farrell, Burns, those guys, I kind of see them all at the same. So I wouldn't want to take Allen at 2. Ideally, you would probably try to trade back with a quarterback needy team like the Jaguars or the Giants. And if he's there, then yeah, at least I collected some picks and I'm still able to get him. But as far as him just being hands down the number 2, just because he had 17 sacks and it, you know, height, weight, speed, he's that I don't like that as much. He gets stonewalled a lot. There were a lot of times where he got stonewalled. I didn't see any strong moves, really. I didn't see him disengage. Even in the game, the bowl game where he had 3 sacks, he didn't have any more tackles for the rest of the game. There's no running back stops. So that kind of is like, how can you play 4-3 end, you know, in this 49ers defense and you can't really get off of blocks or, you know, help stop the run? So is he going to just be a more of a sub-package third-down pass rusher early on, kind of like we saw with Alden Smith. But even then, we saw more flashes of being able to do those things with Alden Smith. There's just a lot to that I don't necessarily see to want him at 2, and I just like him so much more than some of the other guys like Polite and those guys. If you could trade back to 6 and you get him, I'm a little bit more okay with that, and at least you collected some extra picks.
Yeah, and one thing I will say with Josh Allen is, and I love the package of height, weight, speed, and I love the effort and the self-made player that he is in going from a 210-pound guy, and he puts in the work, and so he's not the type of guy I want to bet against either. So I right. like all of those things, but I'm with you. Number 2 overall, a little rich for me. If you trade back, you're able to add a future first rounder, and you get Josh Allen. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I mean, and he said if he's not the best guy, who is? And it's like, dude, Nick Bosa. When you watch Nick Bosa, again, maybe he doesn't have the sack numbers that Josh Allen got. And again, you have to look at sacks with context. But when you watch Bosa, man, he's active. He has great hands. He comes off that edge. He's able to be strong, throw guys around, get running back stops, which is big for me when you're thinking about a 4-3 end. I mean, he's a lot like his brother. And, if you know, his brother had double-digit sacks, I believe, his rookie year in the NFL. So at least with Bosa, you kind of have an idea of what he should be because he plays a lot like his brother, and he's probably a higher prospect even coming out than his brother is, and it's not just off of the name. I think he's that good, and he's going to be an even better pro because there's a lot of gimmick offenses in college football. Once he gets in the NFL and he can kind of pin his ears back and doesn't have to worry about quarterbacks running all over the place, you know, aside from Russell Wilson, I think Bosa, I hope he's there. I hope he's there, too. I hope he's there.
I'm right there with you, Eric. That is Eric Crocker of 4thandnine.com. Find his work at 4thandnine. You guys still doing the Cover 4 podcast this offseason?
Yeah, we'll be picking back up. You know, Dylan got kind of busy with his this new job he got, and I'm really excited for him. It's right up his alley with marketing and things like that. So, but yeah, we'll be picking back up, and we'll be a lot more consistent with the next season.
Awesome. Look for that stuff from Eric Crocker. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Croc, always a pleasure. Thanks, man, for joining me once again here.
Ah, man, thanks for having me on.
Coaching shakeups all around the league. I'm not going to get too in-depth with what other teams are doing right now. We'll probably get into some of that stuff just naturally, but I want to focus on the 49ers, obviously. And by the way, thanks again to Eric Crocker for joining the show. Love getting his – I know he puts the work in, looking at film of all these guys. I like hearing his opinions on prospects, especially when it comes to cornerbacks and safeties, because he is a former DB himself and works with and coaches young players to be better defensive backs, but also he's covered wide receivers. So I like, you know, I like to hear his opinions on that and really all positions because he puts in the time. But when it comes to coaching, so, well, first of all, the 49ers parting ways with Jeff Ferguson. He's been their head athletic trainer since 2006. And that was on the heels of strength and conditioning coach Ray Wright, who was let go last week. So the 49ers really, they're just going to, looks like it's going to, they're going to revamp their entire strength and conditioning and training and rehab program, because those were the two guys at the top of the podium there. And all the injuries the last couple of years, they had to do something. And I don't know if it's an easy scapegoat there because they didn't really know what to do. I don't know if the strength or training staffs were to blame, but they had to do something. Too many injuries for two straight years. So Jeff Ferguson out as head athletic trainer, Ray Wright out as strength and conditioning coach. And we, I guess we'll find out probably maybe this week, have some names going on there. Maybe the week after, I don't know how long it's going to take them to fill their staff, but they're already looking at a defensive backs coach because Jeff Hafley has moved on to the Ohio State program to coach there, be co-defensive coordinator, I believe. We talked with Matt Barrows about this last week. Marquand Manuel is definitely a name that has to be high on the list for the 49ers just because of all the connections. He was fired recently as defensive coordinator in Atlanta. That D had a ton of injuries. So talking about scapegoats, I mean, that was a tough go for Manuel, who was in charge of a defense that had really some important injuries in Atlanta. So I think that would be a huge get for the 49ers. Crosses off so many check marks with, he coached with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. So they have a connection. He coached with Robert Saleh in Seattle, knows the scheme, experienced coach who has been a coordinator. So really everything you're looking for in a defensive backs coach, Marquand Manuel has that. And I'd be very surprised if he's not somebody the 49ers try to at least bring in for an interview for that defensive backs coach position. And an interesting nugget that came down over the weekend, the 49ers have now blocked two assistant coaches from interviewing with other teams, even though they would be a promotion for these guys. So quarterbacks coach Rich Scangarello, who famously was the guy who found Nick Mullins for the 49ers, and run game coordinator Mike McDaniel, the 49ers have blocked both of those coaches from interviewing for offensive coordinator jobs. So it's going to be very interesting to follow that and see if maybe those guys think that they shouldn't have been blocked and would like to go do those interviews, or if it gets them a little bit more money, or if somebody gets internally promoted with the 49ers. They don't officially have, I mean, Kyle Shanahan is officially the head coach and offensive coordinator. So somebody might want that, maybe Mike McDaniel, instead of being run game coordinator, maybe they give him a little bit more money and he becomes quote unquote offensive coordinator, but he wouldn't be calling the plays. So I don't know if that's what he's looking for. But the only jobs that somebody can't block you from, if you're under contract, and the 49ers still have those guys under contract, which is why they can be blocked, even though it's a promotion for those guys, is head coach. You can interview for a head coach job, and you can't be blocked if it's a promotion. But otherwise, the 49ers can block, and they've blocked Rich Scangarello, the quarterback's coach, and Mike McDaniel, the run game coordinator, who's been really big, and he's Kyle Shanahan's right-hand man, apparently, when it comes to putting together game plans. So a couple of pretty important people for Kyle Shanahan's staff that he just flat out doesn't want to lose. And hopefully that doesn't create any bad feelings within the coaching staff if those guys really wanted to go interview. And who wouldn't want that promotion, to go from a position coach like the quarterback's coach, or being sort of a guy that's helping Kyle Shanahan coordinate the offense, to coordinate your own offense somewhere? So that's an interesting thing to follow. And if those guys are in demand around the league, they're eventually going to be gone. You can't block them forever. But right now, they're going to stick around with the 49ers. And the latest news is that 49ers defensive line coach Jeff Zanina has been fired. So the 49ers have a new opening there. A lot of people on Twitter, the funniest one, I think, is Jim Tomsula, because who also is out of a job with the Washington Redskins. Jimmy Tomsula is one of the best defensive line coaches in the NFL, like flat out. I would love to have Jim Tomsula back just because it'd be a fun angle to talk about, but also he's a really good defensive line coach. 49ers had their best defensive front maybe of my lifetime when Jimmy Tomsula was the coach, so or one of the best. And maybe if it wasn't that defensive line, it was the defensive line when Bryant Young was on it. And so he's another guy that's got that connection with Kyle Shanahan and with the 49ers. So maybe Bryant Young, a former 49er, could be someone who's brought in as a defensive line coach. Those are two obvious names that I saw a lot on Twitter on Sunday. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Jim Tomsula, do you think the bridges were burned there? Is it too soon to bring him back? I'm pretty sure the 49ers were paying him through 2018 still for being the head coach for 1 year. And maybe they'll get a little discount now if he was to come back because they paid him so much to not coach for a while. But Jim Tomsula, man, that would be an interesting one, a fun guy to watch on the sidelines and a really good defensive line coach. But Jeff Zanina out after two seasons as defensive line coach. Sounds like Chris Kiffin, who was sort of his partner and the more of the ends coach, more of the pass rush coordinator, looks like he's going to keep his job. So that tells you who they think they're pointing the blame at for who is more to blame for the lack of pass rush over the last couple seasons for the 49ers. Though I believe the 49ers were 22nd in the NFL in sacks, but as we know, a lot of those came from the interior, and they need a pass rush. They need a lot more juice coming off the edge. So we'll see what they do at the defensive line coach position. They've got an open DB coach position, but they don't have an open quarterback coach or run game coordinator position because those guys have been blocked and they're going to stick around with the 49ers for at least one more year. And for the 49ers, that's a really good thing. I think the more players and coaches and everybody is in the building together and working together for multiple seasons, that's how you start to see some consistency, I think, on the field. So bouncing guys in and out and coaching staffs in and out and completely churning over the roster is probably not going to help. So that's a good thing. If the more people that are good coaches you keep in-house for a while and really get a program going in a certain direction, I think it's really important, especially going into year three right now. Get the thing rolling in the right direction, then you've got some momentum. Then maybe if some guys jump off and get plucked away, it's a lot easier to overcome. Okay, after the break, we will get into the NFL playoff scene. AFC and NFC championship games are set, and talk a little NFL draft stuff right after this. Some real quick NFL draft notes. Obviously, the 49ers are coaching the Senior Bowl, the South team at the Senior Bowl. So some names are being finalized. There is an addition to the quarterback group. Tyree Jackson from the University of Buffalo has been added to the quarterbacks group, along with Will Greer, Gardner Minshew, Jared Stidham, and Clayton Thurston. So they got five quarterbacks right now on the South roster that Kyle Shanahan and Rich Scangarello will have a chance to coach. A really good quarterback group, actually one of the better quarterback groups in a while at the Senior Bowl. And on the north side, some other big-name quarterbacks, maybe the guy that ends up going the highest, the guy who I've seen the most often in the first round right now, is Duke quarterback Daniel Jones. He'll be coached by that Raiders staff, along with Drew Locke, who's got a cannon arm. Trace McSorley is more the gritty type, a late-rounder, mid-rounder maybe, but more of a backup type, I think, in the NFL. And Ryan Finley, who I feel like has been around college football for about two decades. And so that's the North group. So a lot of big names and a lot of good quarterbacks there. I think mostly backups. And I think Will Greer, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke are the guys that people are going to draft thinking they maybe have a starter, maybe late round one guys, maybe round two or three guys. It's going to be interesting. And I think Senior Bowl week will have a lot to say in how those guys go. And Gardner Minshew, who came out of nowhere to be maybe on the NFL map now as a quarterback with his mustache, which is where most of his power must come from. Along with the addition there, another wide receiver has been moved over from the north side to the south side. Tyree Jackson's college teammate, wide receiver Anthony Johnson, is now going to be on the south squad, and he's a bigger-bodied wide receiver, and it's a really good wide receiver group. I think that the 49ers, I would not be surprised at all if they snatch one of the guys from this group. Anthony Johnson gets added to a group with David Sills, who is a former quarterback. I don't know if you guys know about the story of David Sills, who is a big, tall wide receiver out of West Virginia, but he's the kid that famously at, I think, 13 years old, maybe like eighth grade or something like that, was given a scholarship by Lane Kiffin. I think that's almost 10 years ago now. I think that was when Lane Kiffin was the USC coach. He had a commit of a 13-year-old to come play quarterback for him, and that obviously didn't work out for David Sills. It didn't even stick a quarterback. Not only did he not go to USC, ended up as a wide receiver at West Virginia. Now he's going to be coached by the 49ers coaching staff at the Senior Bowl. And he's just another guy that's it's a really good group of big-bodied wide receivers. I don't think he's going to be a first or second rounder, but he has a lot of natural ability, obviously, and he has since he was 13 years old. But there's some other really good wide receivers. I know that Keelan Doss was mentioned on the podcast from UC Davis. He's not on the South squad. He's going to be coached on the North squad, but he did make the Senior Bowl. I thought he was going to be a Shrine Game guy. He's actually at the Senior Bowl, so that's good for him and definitely a guy to keep an eye on for the 49ers. Anthony Johnson and David Sills, along with those two guys, Debo Samuels. I know a guy that a lot of people and 49ers fans have hit me up on Twitter about. He's sort of built like a running back. It's going to be interesting to see when he weighs in how heavy he is, because he's built like 5'11", 215. He's basically built like a running back, kind of like a Golden Tate style of athlete. That's what he looks like, and he doesn't look as fast as he used to be because he's been more of a catch and run after the catch guy. And I didn't really love what I saw from him in 2018. Not that I didn't like it. I just didn't see someone that people are talking about him as a first or second round pick, and I didn't see that out of Debo Samuel, even though he has made some big plays in his college career, dealt with some injuries as well. There is Hunter Renfrow out of Clemson, Jalen Hurd, who's got all the physical ability in the world, bounced around to a couple colleges, finished up with Baylor, Travis Fulgham, who is sort of the, I think, the underdog here. There's a clip I saw online of him, and I haven't done a ton of film work on a lot of these guys. I've definitely watched them all a little bit, but Fulgham, there's this play where he blocks a dude just like 25 yards down the field. It was like the blind side where he blocks him into the stands practically. So I think Kyle Shanahan's going to like that toughness and that physicality in another guy who's got some size at the wide receiver position. A little bit of a sleeper there for you guys, Travis Fulgham out of Old Dominion. And to flip to the other side real quick, another Old Dominion guy, O'Shane Zimenez, outside linebacker. Pass rusher, could be a nice fit at Sam for the 49ers. I don't even know where Old Dominion is. I have no clue what state the college Old Dominion resides in. I have no idea. It must be on the southern side because the 49ers have those players in the Senior Bowl. Okay, we'll get deep into the Senior Bowl and the practices and all that stuff in coming weeks. It's not Senior Bowl week yet, but there are some interesting names being thrown out there and finalized on the roster, so it's fun to talk about that kind of stuff. I do want to end the show with the NFL playoffs and just some quick thoughts about some of the games that we saw there. The Patriots won over the Chargers very easily. They had that game well in hand very early. That game felt like it lasted 5 hours. 41-28, the final there. And the Saints rallied to beat the Eagles. Eagles went up 14-0 early, and Saints came back. That defense came strong for the Saints. Eventually just continued to get stops on the Eagles. And New Orleans is moving on. 20-14, the final there. So AFC title game. New England at Kansas City is going to be a fun one. And in the NFC, the Los Angeles Rams will be visiting the New Orleans Saints. So my preseason pick of the New Orleans Saints Super Bowl champions is still alive, still looking good there, and there's no reason for me to go back on that. I just love what the Saints can do on both sides of the ball, and they've got so many playmakers on offense. You've got your veteran quarterback in Drew Brees, who's still playing at a super high level, and those recent drafts and some really young talent there on both sides of the ball helping out, which is huge. And so I still really like New Orleans. I think they're a little bit more complete than the Rams, and obviously playing at home is a huge advantage. Playing in that dome, it's a tough place to play. I like New Orleans going over the Rams and going to the Super Bowl, but the Rams can't be discounted because they're too good as well. They've got a lot of names on defense that when they can play and they come together, they can put it together and they can play a really good football game. And on the offensive side of the ball, obviously Jared Goff playing fine. He's playing well in Sean McVay's scheme. They've got Todd Gurley. They've got C.J. Anderson. They picked up off the trash heap. Both those dudes running for 100-plus yards. So that's going to be a fun one right there. And I think I definitely have New Orleans going. And then I think it's funny because you can't bet against – is it going to be the young guys or the old guys, right? You can't bet against the old guys, Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Like, how could you say, I'm going to throw down money that those guys are going to lose and not advance? Even with some good young quarterbacks on the other side, and Jared Goff and especially Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be the MVP of the league, and who is just ridiculous with some of the throws he makes. Just he drops your jaw at least once every game. Bill Belichick, you saw what he did. I thought it was amazing. The Chargers, what they put on tape the week before for Bill Belichick to just sit in his cave and be like, yep, okay, you're going to do that again? I got you. the Chargers running that cover three out there. Similar scheme, obviously, under Gus Bradley that the 49ers run, but they had a lot of success the week before against the Ravens and against a rookie quarterback and throwing seven defensive backs on the field. And they tried that out again against the Patriots. And you can't do that to Bill Belichick. Like showing him on film exactly what you're about to do the following week. He doesn't play that, man. I'm sure that was the easiest thing for him ever is to be like, okay, you just showed me exactly what you're going to do. Well, I know how I'm going to combat that, and I'm going to throw it to my running back 17 times. The Chargers might have been better off throwing seven defensive linemen on the field instead. The Patriots are too good. They play sound football, and they get enough plays on both sides of the ball, even though they continue to turn over most of the roster aside from Brady and Gronk and Edelman and a few pieces like that. But Trey Flowers, he had a big game. Dude's had a great year. Going to be a free agent, defensive end, pass rusher. Belichick doesn't like to pay guys. Just throwing it out there. Man, the Patriots are always going to be some stiff competition. I don't think it's one of the best Patriots squads. But, man, that was such a great coaching job, I think, by Bill Belichick. Seeing what he knew was coming from that Chargers defense. And, man, he took advantage of it. And Josh McDaniels, I guess you got to give him some credit too. But Patrick Mahomes is a different beast, man. That Kansas City team right now and that Kansas City pass rush, look, that's what Tom Brady's had trouble with before. New York Giants winning two Super Bowls, that race car package, throwing four defensive ends out there. The Kansas City Chiefs secondary has been kind of rugged some points this year. Their linebacking core, you know, that defense is what you weren't sure about if it was good enough to take them all the way. But the pass rush is real, and that helps everything out on defense. And Dee Ford coming off the edge, Justin Houston coming off the edge on the other side, Chris Jones coming from up the middle. He's quickly becoming one of the best interior defenders in the NFL. That's a lot to deal with. And so if you can get to Tom Brady, that is going to be a huge key for the Chiefs. But I don't know where that game's going to go. That could go just about any direction. But I really like the home teams. Both home teams have venues that are difficult to play in. Hard to pick against Tom Brady. But I think the fact that Kansas City's at home, I think that gives them that edge, that tiebreaker. So that one I feel less good about. I'm New Orleans Saints over the Rams all day long. But if I had to make a prediction here, I'm going New Orleans Saints for sure in the Super Bowl. In that New England game, man, that could go any way. And I'm straight in the middle, and I'm just going to go Kansas City just because they're at home. I'm going to go with the home factor to give me that extra 3 points because I can't differentiate those two teams and say that I like one over the other in a neutral playing field. But since it's in Kansas City, I'm going to go Chiefs. Saints, Chiefs, Super Bowl. That's what I got for next week. Both those games I think are going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. All right, that's enough from me. I will talk to you guys tomorrow. It's going to be a mailbag show. Get those mailbag questions in at BD Peacock on Twitter. Email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. You've got the Facebook, the Instagram, but the best place to hit me up is on Twitter at BD Peacock. Be back tomorrow with a full mailbag episode. And those I don't get to, I'll hit with Nick on Winky Wednesday right here on Locked On 49ers.